why a gas station is a dangerous place to use your credit card, Instagram combats bullying in a unique way, 10 best gadgets of the last 10 years, and your tech questions answered. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro. This is Rich on Tech, the show where I talk about the tech stuff that I think you should know about. Plus, I answer all the questions that you send me. But I will say, for the first time in several weeks, your questions are actually less than the CES emails I'm getting, which is just insane, all-time high. Welcome, producer Megan, to the show.
Hey, what's up? What's going on?
The holidays, that's what's going on. Like our little holiday music?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get that out of there. Lots to talk about in this show. I will start by talking about upgrading my mom's setup, because I was in New Jersey. And whenever I go home to New Jersey, I basically spend a day with my dad and a day with my mom upgrading all their stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because it's kind of what tech nerds do when they go home. It's a very common thing. And so for my mom, she's going to go over all the things I did because it was crazy. It was one day, but everything changed for her. And this is the thing. You know, my mom, she rolls with this stuff. And this is the beauty of technology, is that it doesn't have to be super complicated. Everything that I do when I set up my friends and family with tech is I want to make it not so complicated so that they can enjoy it and understand it and just love it and not have to be figuring out 15 different remotes and this, how do I switch this input and this and that. So first thing I did, I basically upgraded my mom's Fire TV stick. She had an old Amazon Fire TV stick, not the 4K version. And so I actually had given her a 4K Fire TV stick, like, I think it was over the summer for like her birthday. And I was like, oh, here, you need an upgrade. And she never set it up. Of course she didn't, because she doesn't set things up herself. So I get home, I see this thing on the table, and I'm like, Mom, can we set this up? So we set that up. And I'm using her old Fire Stick, and wow, it was so slow. She's like, well, this thing always has problems. I'm like, yeah, I can see why, because it's so slow. It was ridiculous. So I got the 4K one, worked so much better, logged her into her different apps. Then I'm looking at her AT&T TV. I'm like, hey, let me see your bill, your credit card bill for this AT&T DirecTV Now, whatever it used to be called. And she shows me her bill. It's $65 a month. I'm like, $65 a month? How many channels are you watching? She only watches one out there in New York. It's like ABC7. And so I'm like, well, you know you're paying like $65 a month for all these different channels that you don't watch. She's like, well, sometimes I watch Food Network. I'm like, can you do without it? Because we can save you $60 a month. So it's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, so we cancel that. And so DirecTV, AT&T Now, whatever is gone, but now she doesn't have her local channel. So I look up Locast. Remember we talked about this? This is the app that lets you get your local channels.
Okay.
A lot of people have written in with mixed reactions to how good it is. But anyway, so I set her up with that. Locast.org is the website. Plus, they have an app that lets you get your local channels.
Right.
Even in LA, you can get KTLA on there. I don't know how long it's going to last. And it's not illegal, but they're operating in some sort of a gray zone that the broadcasters are kind of fighting it. So who knows? But it works for now. And I set her up with that. And to get rid of all the kind of clutter on the screen, like they kind of bombard you every 15 minutes with like a ad or something, you pay $5 a month. So I was like, all right, for $5 a month, are you willing to pay that? She's like, sure. So we did that. Then we were on a roll. I said, well, now that you got a 4K Fire Stick, do you want to upgrade your TV? And she's like, sure. I said, 4K TVs are so cheap. So we found one at Best Buy, TCL 5 Series. It was $329. And I was like, for $329 for a 4K TV, by the way, way
like
bigger.
55 inch.
Yeah, she had a 42. So 55, and by the way, 42 with like these giant bezels, you know, the black bar around the screen.
Yeah.
So we go to Best Buy. We order it online, pick up in store. Mm-hmm. I gave her my $5 Best Buy rewards card.
So nice
she was,
of you.
Yeah, $5 off. So we do that. We come home. We set it all up. The TV is so light, I can carry it by myself up the stairs into her place and you know, set it all.
Yeah.
So we do that. Her TV looks fantastic. So all that's done. Then I upgrade her computer. I bought her a computer a couple years ago. And so I upgraded that to another computer that I had given her, like one of my old ones.
Yeah.
And she never really set it up again. So I got that all set up.
And is this fun for you? This
oh my
is
God.
Fun for you.
Okay. Love doing this. Like this is like if I could do this every day.
Yeah.
Well, it'd probably be a job. So probably not.
Yeah.
But I do. It is fun because it's like things could be interesting and different. So we do the computer, and then with the old computer, she had two of her old computers sitting there from the last two times I upgraded her over the past like decade. Because I was like, Mom, we'll figure this out. So I'm like, all right, you know what? We're getting rid of these right now. So I research online. It turns out that at Best Buy they charge you to like recycle a monitor. It's like $25. But at Staples, they'll take anything with no fee. Oh. So we drove over to Staples, brought the computer, the old computer and the old monitor, and we recycled there. And
wow.
That was good. I also gave her a Google Home Hub. This mm-hmm. was one of her Christmas gifts. So I got her like the little one. I wanted to get her the big one, but I was like, is she really going to video chat? Probably not. So got her the little one. And the thing that she loves about this is the pictures. So it's basically a picture frame. Mm-hmm. It's now called the Google Nest Hub. So
okay.
But it shows your pictures when you're not using it. And she loves her pictures, blah, blah, blah. So we did that. And now she's got her pictures on this little thing. And finally, I gave her my old Pixel because I upgraded to the iPhone. So I gave her my old Pixel 3 XL that I bought. And she still wanted to stick with the Pixel. She's had a Pixel now for, I think, 2 years, 3 years.
Okay.
And she really likes it. And she loves her pictures from
She's a new woman.
Yeah, so she got
She's
a new phone.
Tech
and
woman.
By the way, the phone is bigger because it's the XL. She used to have the regular one.
Okay.
So anyway, my point is she is hooked up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's basically all hand-me-downs for me, but still,
but
it's new to her
I
for
mean,
most part.
You treat your tech nicely, too. It's not like it's all dinged up. It's
exactly.
all pretty much brand new.
Yes. So anyway, so she is loving all her new stuff, and transferring everything and setting it all up was not that tough. And it was really fun. And the reason I tell this story is because if my mom can deal with all this new technology in one day, it's basically a tech makeover, you can deal with it too. You can figure it out. This stuff is not complicated. It gets easier and easier every year. Next time I go home, I'm going to set her up with some smart plugs because I think that she'd really like the idea of turning on and off lights around
yeah.
her house with just her voice.
Oh, yeah.
And also setting some of those on timers. Because right now she's like walking through the house, turning things on and off. And I feel like she'd probably really enjoy having some of these on timers. I also think she'd really enjoy a Chromecast that would show her pictures on the big screen when she's not using her TV.
Oh, yeah, that's smart,
which is
too.
Also, so I've been doing that at my house. I come home and I now say, H Google, turn on the living room Chromecast. And if you just do that, it'll turn on your TV, switch to the Chromecast input, and just display your pictures as a screensaver.
Okay.
Which is really nice because your TV, if it's sitting there with a dark screen,
yeah.
it's kind of useless. So I've been doing that. The only problem is when I want to switch back to Fire TV, I have to like use the input button on the remote, which is kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure that
Does
part out.
Does Roku do that?
I don't know if you can add your own pictures to Roku. Last I checked, I don't think you can natively.
Okay.
There might be a third-party app that lets you do it. And, you know, the Amazon Fire Stick lets you do it.
Yeah.
But you have to upload your pictures to Amazon. And so that means curating them, whereas Google just does it for you. And then Apple, same thing. You can do it, but you have to curate your pictures. And
okay.
it's kind of a, you know. Anyway, all right, so now you heard my story. Let's get one of the questions
okay.
from you, Megan.
So this first question comes from Andalon. She says, I need your advice. Can you please let me know the difference between a Chromebook and laptop? I'm planning on buying these for my daughters, ages 12 and 9 years old. I'm not looking for any fancy stuff, basically for homework and for them to log into their applications from school for extra reading and math work. And then she asks, which device should I buy for each girl for depending on their ages? My 12-year-old is a 7th grader and my 9-year-old is a 4th grader.
Hmm. Okay, so first question, the difference between a Chromebook and Windows. The main difference between a Chromebook and Windows is that Chrome runs the Chrome operating system, which if you've ever used the Chrome web browser online, it's basically that, but as an entire operating system. So it does have a desktop and things like that, but primarily when you think of a Chromebook, think of it as you are on the web doing work. Now, I can get 99.9% of my work done on the web, mm-hmm. which includes resizing photos, checking my email, watching YouTube, uploading pictures, uploading videos. What else did I miss? Surfing the web. The things I can't do.
Email.
Spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Making documents, Google Docs, typing up documents.
Yeah.
The thing I can't do is basically edit video. And that's it. So if
okay.
your daughters, are they both daughters, did she say?
Yes.
Yeah. So if your daughters are only doing things primarily, I think the delineation is this. Do your daughters need to download any sort of specialty apps for their use? So if there's a special, let's say they're a scientist and they need a special science app
mm-hmm.
that you need to download to a computer and run it, the Chromebook will not run that app because
oh.
it's generally a Windows app.
Okay.
So that's the main thing to keep in mind. But otherwise, I would say, talk to your kids and see if they use, like, ask them, hey, what apps do you use? Like, what,
mm-hmm.
don't use the word apps, use programs. Because apps, think you think of phone.
Mm-hmm.
So program is like on my computer right now, I have like Evernote is a program. Now you can run that in totally in the web, but it works better as a native app. I've got my reminders. That's a Mac app. So I use that, you know, on the computer. But 99% of what you want to do for the average person is available on a Chromebook. So I'd recommend going with those. The benefits of a Chromebook are security. So there's really no viruses for them. Mm-hmm. Software updates are automatic and they're really fast and they're kind of invisible. It happens when you kind of restart the computer. And that's it.
What about like a MacBook Air?
The problem is if she's deciding between a Chromebook, it's usually a MacBook Air starts at about $1,000. So
I thought like the really small one was cheaper, but maybe
it might be. It may be $699.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. I think that it's let me
the one that's like 12-inch screen, I think. Or even smaller. There's one that's like
MacBook Air. So you got a MacBook Air, and the cheapest MacBook Air that I see on the website is $1,099.
Oh yeah.
So when you're talking 99% of the people that email me about a computer, Mac is not even in the picture. Mm-hmm. Because you're only looking at a Mac if you need to do something specific when it comes to audio, video, or you love your iPhone so much you just feel like a Mac would be the perfect complement. Otherwise, most people that I'm talking to are not going with a Mac. And they're going, like I'm talking average person who's just doing web surfing and stuff. And in fact, I love the Mac. I think that the Mac is amazing. Do I recommend it for everyone? Because no, you probably don't need it. If you can save money, like just surfing the web on a Chromebook, go ahead and get the Chromebook. And it also has a lot of advantages for software. You don't have to think about updates. You don't have to think about apps and things like that. So for most people, I would say a Chromebook is the way to go. And when people are looking at laptops and Chromebooks, I always recommend Costco because they generally only have one to two selections.
Okay.
So it's very easy and they're always better than what you find anywhere else. So let's say they had the same exact Chromebook at Costco that they do at Best Buy. The one at Costco will be a little bit cheaper and the specs will be a little bit better. It's always like that. It's the way Costco cuts their deals with these retailers or these manufacturers, I should say.
Love Costco.
Yes, so do I. Love that place. Gas stations are the most dangerous place to use your credit card. And not just credit card, but debit card, anything that has, you know, the Visa or MasterCard logo on it or American Express, whatever. And according to Visa, they have said that hackers are not even using skimmers anymore. We've always heard about skimmers, which is a physical device that hackers install over the card reader and steal your number. They don't bother with that anymore because people are kind of hip to that. If you see some big old thing on the scanner, you're going to be like, I'm not using that.
Yeah.
What they do is they hack the gas station software. And once inside, all they have to do is scrape all the card numbers that are flowing through that software you scan your card at the pump. And the reason why Visa's warning about this is because it's basically in their best interest to have these gas stations upgrade to the chip and PIN.
Yeah.
And if you've noticed, every retailer now pretty much has chip and PIN. So which chip, most of the time they're chip. So which means you insert your credit card in. You don't swipe it anymore.
My favorite is the tap.
Tap is the best.
Tap is the best.
And a lot of retailers have tap as well. Mm-hmm. And I would say the last holdout that I go to, I think, is Ralph's that does not have tap.
Yeah.
Okay. They're trying to use their own like Kroger because Kroger's so big that they can use their own, like Walmart. Actually, Walmart and Kroger are the last two holdouts.
They have their own version?
Yeah, they have their own thing. It's like a QR code you scan because think about it. When you tap your credit card on that device, they have to pay a little percentage to that credit card company for that ability to take that card. So the reason they don't want to do that is because with their system, if they use like, you know, Walmart Pay or whatever, it doesn't cost them as much. So if you think about a billion transactions in a year or however many they do, even a penny per transaction is a lot of money.
But do you think people will decide to not go there?
No. Every time I go to Ralph's, I'm like, when are you going
to
take? It was a while. They wouldn't even take the chip.
So
but
funny.
The tap is, I've gotten so used to the tap. And in fact, let me just go through a little bit more of this story. So the hackers are getting these numbers because they're exposed. When you swipe your card, your actual card number that's printed on the front of the card is being transmitted over the internets. When you dip your card, when you pop it into that slot as a chip, it's creating a one-time number that is transmitted. So if someone, let's say you got my number, you can't do anything with it because that number only lasted. It's a one-time number. It's disposable for all intents and purposes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this is why we switched over to the chip because it's much more secure. And Visa saying that gas stations, the reason why they're so dangerous is because they are the last place that does not have chip. Everyone else has chip now. And not, I'm not talking mobile payment. Chip. Chip is still dip.
Right.
Chip and dip. It sounds like chip, something you'd have at your fourth at your Super Bowl party.
Chip and dip.
So my recommendation on this with a gas station, and I found this to be true with myself, find a gas station that uses tap.
Okay.
And it's very tough to find. I find in the Los Angeles area, Arco is really good at having tap to pay. So is Chevron. That's it. The rest of the gas stations, they don't. They all have the still the swipe. Where it's actually insert, but it's not really a chip. It's still it's a swipe insert kind of thing.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not
a
true chip.
Right.
Anyway, so that's my advice, because when you use tap to pay or you use your chip, or if you even tap your credit card, a lot of these credit cards, if you look on the back, they have a little wireless symbol. Your credit card is actually tap to pay enabled. So you can actually physically, a lot of the Chase cards, you can tap to pay.
Yeah.
And so that,
those are the cards that I
that
have
works.
That. Yeah.
So my advice, use the tap to pay at your gas station. It's, I would say, I was trying to find a good app to recommend that you can look at to see where a tap to pay gas station is near you. And I the only app I found, I didn't really, it wasn't very good. It was kind of like, let's see, did I delete it off my phone? I think I did. Yeah, I did. It was so bad, I didn't even keep it on here.
Gas Buddy.
No, I don't think Gas Buddy shows it. It may, but I don't. I have to look at that. In the meantime, while I look that up, you go through your next question.
Okay, so our next question comes from Diane. The subject is new phone phobia. My husband and I need to upgrade our cell phones. We're not tech savvy, so which do you recommend, the iPhone or an Android phone? We like to talk, text, take pictures, and share our stuff with family. Did I mention we're over 58 years of age and technology challenged? I thought that was a sweet kind of message.
Okay, I like that. That's nice. I would recommend probably, I know everyone that's listening is going to say, oh, Rich is going to say the iPhone, right?
But I don't
here's
know.
Why.
I don't know what you're going to say.
No, here's why I say the iPhone, okay? Because, number one, she said she wants to text with friends and family, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm guessing if she's like a lot of Americans, her family and friends have iPhones.
Yeah.
Okay. So that means that you have iMessage. And you probably want to be able to send things easily, quickly, share photos, videos, all that good stuff. That's why I'd recommend the iPhone. It's also easier because when you run into a problem, you can ask a friend versus an Android, where a lot of people put their shoulders up and they're like, I don't know. So that's another reason for the iPhone. You've got the Apple Store. So if you really have, you know, you want to really take it to the next level, you can take some classes there about how to use your phone.
There's also this book.
What's the book? Did someone write an iPhone book?
There's an iPhone book. Oh my gosh, what is it called?
101 iPhone
Tips and Tricks.
Yeah. That one?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, who's the author on that? So you've got that.
His name's like Tom DeMiro.
It's very similar to my name.
Yeah, Tom.
Tom. So you've got the book you can get, 101 iPhone Tips and Tricks. I just feel like, and I love Android. Don't get me wrong. You know I love Android.
Yeah.
I always want to switch to Android?
There's like a good 6 months of the year where you're on Android you're like, I don't want to go back to the iPhone.
Right.
And should I buy the next iPhone?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you should, because it's great.
And it is great. And it's, you know, it's one of these things. Plus, you have a lot of selections of phones. You can go in. You've got a lot of choice.
Yeah.
And I just feel like if you want a phone, you're 58. If you want a phone that lasts, you know, a good 3 years, I would say just go with an iPhone. Go with the iPhone 11.
Yeah.
Go with the XR if they don't even sell that anymore, I don't think. But
iPhone 11.
Go with the iPhone 11.
Yeah.
And just that'll last you 3 years. You'll be great. You know,
three years?
If not more.
I feel like forever.
Yeah. It could last you like, 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad is still on the, what did he have? Like the 6S maybe?
My dad had the 5 for like up until a month ago.
You can keep these things for a long time.
Let's
put it this way. The latest version of iOS is iOS 13. It still works on the iPhone 6S, which I remember the iPhone 6S when that came out, and that had to be, let's see, how many years ago was that? That was 2015. You're talking 4 years, okay?
My mom has a 6S Plus.
So that's pretty good.
Time for her to update.
Okay. Let's talk about Instagram. They're doing something interesting to try to combat bullying. When you type a caption on your photo and it's considered offensive by their AI, they are going to say, excuse me, do you really want to say that? And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
They've done this with comments in the past. I call it the Taylor Swift filter because she basically was the one who asked them to do this, apparently.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, because
she turns all of them off.
I know. That's why. Yeah. Because she didn't like the mean comments.
Yeah.
So, and I get it. It's the internet is a rough place. You put yourself out there when you put now, if you're just posting stuff with friends and family, generally you're not going to, are your friends really going to be that mean?
Just like a regular person. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope they're not. Yeah.
Right. That would
But if you're in the public, if you're in the public and a lot of people do bully public figures because they figure, I don't know this person. Like I could just say whatever I want. You know, supermodel posts like a picture and they're like, oh, you're too fat. Like,
yeah.
And people do
it. Eat a burger.
Right. And they do it just to be like mean.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really bad on YouTube. YouTube needs to license this technology from Instagram. I always call Instagram like Disneyland. It's like the Disneyland of the internet because it really is like happy. They block all the hashtags that are bad. Mm-hmm. You know, you try to type in a bad hashtag on Instagram.
I don't try.
Okay, well.
Do you try?
I've tried, yeah.
And they're like.
And it comes up nothing. They say this hashtag has been. That was a couple years ago where they started doing that. And they even do it where they find trending because people get around it. So people pick a hashtag to do something dirty with or something bad with, and Instagram will pick up on it and they'll block it. They'll say like these tags have been registered as offensive or something. So anyway, my point is,
yeah.
And I remember because this whole thing This actually happened a couple years ago by a viewer. Unbeknownst to me, she said, my son is finding these really inappropriate pictures on Instagram. And I was like, there's no inappropriate pictures on Instagram. Sure enough, I did a main hashtag that she sent me. It was like, I don't know. Ice cream or something.
Los Angeles lady.
Yeah, whatever it was. It was something very like simple.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the pictures that came up were filled with terrible stuff.
Oh no.
And so I was like, wow, I had no idea. And so this is when I kind of realized that Instagram is doing that. And then after that, it was like probably 6 months later that they said, oh, we're going to start filtering hashtags. Anyway. So now they're doing comments. So when you type a comment, it will say, can you please reconsider this because it might be mean. And it's AI that's figuring out if it's mean or not. So you say eat a burger to, who's the Gigi Hadid?
Gigi Hadid.
Hadid?
Yeah.
So if you say eat a burger to her, it may be like, Megan, do you really want to say that?
But I feel like eat a burger, that's not read as, like an AI wouldn't pick that up as
mean. You don't know?
Really?
How do you know? Oh. It may.
Or like you need a burger.
Yeah, you need a burger. That could be mean.
Could be mean.
Or how about like, I bet you put your mayo on the side.
Yeah. Or I bet you take the bun off and just eat the meat.
I bet you eat that protein style.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Those are good. The lettuce wrapped burgers.
I love, yeah.
I would do that just
for a healthy lunch at In-N-Out.
It's much lighter.
You can basically. I just want the fries.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotta have well done. Okay. So that's what Instagram is doing.
Okay. This next question comes from your Facebook, which is facebook.com/richontech. Chris asks, hey Rich, is there a digital picture frame that can be linked to your iPhone? I feel like we've answered this a couple times, but
I feel like it too, but I think I'll just go over
question.
The two. It is okay, so
everyone wants to know.
This is really funny because this holiday season, for some reason, I'm getting more of the digital picture frame question than ever before. I don't know if that's a lot of times these companies are advertising on Instagram and Facebook, and that's why people email me because they're seeing this ad over and over. Mm-hmm. So I'll just throw out two recommendations. The first is Nixplay, Nixplay. They make some of the best frames out there. I've tested these in the past. They work really well. They do what you want, and you know they're pretty simple. It's a picture frame that's digital. You can send stuff from your phone to the frame. You can send stuff to your loved ones' frames if they have it set up that way. It works. And it's, you know, they have cloud frames. They have ones that you can plug the USB into the back. However you want to do it, Nixplay will do that. The thing that I personally like better is, well, there's another way you can do it. Well, there's a third way. I'll tell you in a second. But the other way you can do it is I really like the Google Nest Hub. And the Google Nest Hub, I get it. It's a smart speaker. It's listening. It's evil because it's Google listening in your house with a microphone and potentially a camera if you get the big version. But let's be honest, we all have those things in our home. So it's like, come on, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But the best part about that is if you're using Google Photos already, it curates the best photos. It doesn't always do the best job. Sometimes like my mom, she sells stuff on like Facebook Marketplace and like a couple of like her old pairs of shoes showed up. She's like, I thought you said these were curated. I was like, well, it's not always right.
It's like all selfies of yourself.
Clearly you took a good picture of those shoes because Google's AI, identified it as a good picture.
Yeah.
And so you can also do things like, so when my kid, when it was my kid's birthday, you can say, I only want to show pictures of a certain face. Mm-hmm. So on one of my albums, I have just like the family. So I say like Lindsay, Rich, Tanner, Parker, and it can automatically just show pictures that involve those faces. So you can do a lot of stuff. Or you can say, I just want sunsets. So all my sunset pictures. Or you can say just pictures in Hawaii. Or you can do a combination of whatever you want. And that's why I think the Google Nest Hub is the best way to go, because it's so flexible. Mm-hmm. And you can change your pictures at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
Like I said, when we had the birthday party at my house, I changed all the digital displays to show just Tanner.
That's amazing.
Nobody noticed, but I was hoping one person might be like, oh, he's, but to me, I smiled.
They probably thought you spent hours putting it together.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, poor guy.
Yeah, what a loser. Yeah. The only other thing I would recommend is if you have like an old iPad around, you could probably work that into a frame, and you could probably just put some pictures on there and set it as a slideshow or whatever. And I'm sure there's apps out there that you can use as well. So,
cool. Great.
Cool question. Let's talk about the 10 best gadgets of the 2010s. You know, we're rounding out a decade here, Megan. It's almost 2020.
Goodness.
So top 10 gadgets of the 2010s. I'm not going to talk about this too much because I actually talked about this at length in another podcast, my friend Brian Tong's podcast, the Apple Bits XL. So if you want to hear us discuss all these gadgets of the last decade, check out Apple Bits XL with Brian Tong. He's my pal from when I worked at CNET. And we talked about this
a lot.
He's
your homie.
Yeah. He actually lives close by to me. We never see each other. We're always like, oh, we got to hang out. And we only see each other like out and about at events. We're like, we got to hang out. We never do.
So maybe
one of these days we will. Apple iPad. That was one of the top 10.
Okay.
Tesla Model S. That was a big game changer. Raspberry Pi. Do you know that one?
You mean like food?
No. This is a little tiny computer that you can like make into anything you want. So it's good for like tinkerers and, you know, nerds.
Yeah.
You can do a lot with it.
Cool.
So, and it's only like $25. So that's really cool. Google Chromecast 2013. I can't believe it's been 6 years since that came out. That was life-changing. Like to me when I saw this, because streaming devices were really expensive before Chromecast. And when the first one came out, I think it was like $35 or $50. It was like, whoa, wait, what?
What is it now?
I think it's 35,
okay.
maybe.
Okay.
But don't forget, now you have the Roku sticks and you've got the Amazon sticks that are so cheap that like everyone assumes streaming can be cheap. But back then it wasn't.
No.
You had like Apple TV.
Apple TV, yeah.
And that was like $200, I think.
Now it's like.
Now it's still 200.
It's still the same.
DJI Phantom, this is the drone.
That
was 2013.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
Amazon Echo in 2014. That was game changing. I've never been a big Echo user, but it was a lot of people like it.
I feel like she doesn't hear me right ever.
She does better than Siri, that's for sure.
Yeah, Google's good though.
Yes, Google's amazing. Apple Watch 2015, that was game-changing.
Yeah.
You're still wanting one, I know.
I'm noticing a trend.
There's only three Apple products.
Oh, but still.
Apple
still
AirPods 2016.
Okay.
Nintendo Switch in 2017, which I know you're not a gamer, but that was a big one because...
This might be the decade though. 2020 might be my gaming year.
Might be your gaming years.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
And then the Xbox Adaptive Controller in 2018. This is for gamers with physical limitations, disabilities, and it lets them play Xbox as well, which is really cool.
That is cool.
Again, if you want to hear me discuss all the top 10 gadgets of the 2010s, those are according to time.com, by the way. Those were not my list.
Okay.
Apple Bits XL. Check out the podcast by Brian Tong.
I have a question. My own question. What was your favorite product from the 2010s?
I'll be honest. I think it's the Pixel. Surprised. I'm surprised that was not on there.
Oh,
I would say either the Pixel or Google Assistant.
Do people just overlook Google
products? Well, I think so. There was one. There was Chromecast. But I think that, Google Photos. Those were not products, but I think, and Google Assistant. But
so
I think,
favorite phone?
I think the Pixel was, I mean, for when it came out, it was the best photos I had ever seen on a smartphone with such a simple camera. And I think this year, I carry the iPhone 11 Pro Max, and I really, truly think that that's a great overall device.
Mm-hmm.
If I had my way, I'd probably carry the Pixel. If I wasn't,
well,
if I was not creating, if I was not creating content for social media.
Yeah.
Because the iPhone and also the apps. Because Android just doesn't have the apps that the iPhone does. But I love the smarts of the Android platform, and especially Google, and especially the Pixel. So that's, you know, that's the difference.
Yeah.
So,
anyway. Cool. All right. This next question comes from Kristen. She wrote on your Facebook, "Hi, Rich. I just got my first iPad. It's the iPad Pro, and I'm terrified of one of my cats breaking it. What is the best protective case for it? And how? And does the protective paper-like film actually protect as well as the glass does? Thanks."
You know, I fell in love with a cat when I was home. I'm not a big cat person, but my brother gave my mom a cat, a little tiny kitten.
Aww.
And I will say, I was like, okay, I might get one of these if it stayed that small.
If you're not allergic, you should.
I'm not allergic.
I wish I could have a cat.
It was really cute. It would like crawl up on you while you're watching like TV and just like ball up on your lap. And I'm not used to that because I don't have like any animals.
Yeah.
So I do have kids.
Are your kids allergic to cats?
Probably, because one of them has like some allergy kind of stuff. So probably, but he really wants a dog. But anyway, so I understand the cat thing because basically these cats are tiny tyrants around the house. They play with everything. They get into everything. They knock things over. They scratch things. And if you have an iPad sitting there, she sets her first iPad on the edge of a table and you just leave it there, boom, it's dead. It's going to fall off because this cat's going to claw it and, you know, it's going to go off the side. I would recommend, and this is what I've had on my kids' iPads for 4 years now, the OtterBox. They make an iPad case that is 100% inclusive of the iPad. So it goes on the back, and then it also has a cover for the screen. And they make several cases, but I would go with one. It depends. What was her name again? Diane?
Her name was, Kristen.
Kristen. So I would say, Kristen, that if you think you're going to be responsible enough, you can get a case that doesn't necessarily cover the front, like the screen, but she specifically mentioned the screen. So I would probably get an OtterBox case that covers the screen and it encloses your entire iPad. Now, with that said, your iPad's going to be a lot bigger than normal. It's going to be a little bit heavier, but it's for most people, that's fine. And OtterBox has a lot of different cases. So you can see, like, maybe you want one. Defender is kind of like the main one. That's the biggest one. That's going to be pretty thick. But you can get other ones like a Symmetry case. Let's see, what else do they have? An Alpha. That's a screen protector. But I would say just look what they have. But that's the company I'd recommend, is OtterBox. So good question. That's protected my kid's iPad for many years until my kid threw up on his iPad with the case. And so I had to take it off. So my kid's actually gone caseless for about 3 months now. I need to buy a new case for him. It's been in my Amazon shopping cart.
That's so sad.
But it was gross because it was like the throw up got like, you know, in like under the screen. And I had to like clean the whole thing. And like, it was so gross. I just wanted to trash it.
Why did he aim onto the iPad?
I know, right? All I wanted to do was throw out the iPad. I was like, I just want to toss this thing in the trash because it's got, you know, barf on it.
He'd be so sad.
But I did not. I saved it.
Ew.
Air TV 2 is now available. This is Air TV is kind of an offshoot of Sling TV, and they say it's a cord cutting brand dedicated to meeting the growing consumer demand for over the air products and services. Air TV 2 is a new Wi-Fi enabled network tuner. A lot of times, what happens is you get these streaming services and you have to somehow figure out how to get all your channels. Like, for instance, the TV station I work for, KTLA, is not currently on any of the streaming services. So when you get something like YouTube TV or Sling TV, all of a sudden you're like, wait, where's my local channel 5? You don't have it. Then you have to go and get an antenna. And you can get an antenna, and now you have to figure out how to integrate that into your streaming setup, which means, do you put it on a separate input on your TV? Do you get a box that integrates it? Like, for me, I have something called Amazon Fire TV Recast, which integrates into my Fire TV.
Okay.
Which means I don't have to switch inputs to go to my antenna. So if I want something on regular TV, I just go to my grid on my Fire TV. But it gets complicated. Because if you're just hooking up an antenna to your TV, now you have to switch that antenna input to watch anything on there. Which most people, if you're cord cutting, you're streaming everything else, and now you got to switch inputs. It's a big pain in the you-know-what. So you don't want to do that. So this new Air TV 2 is a Wi-Fi enabled network tuner. And the beauty of this thing, it's kind of like my Fire TV Recast. You put it in the spot in your house that has the best reception. So that may not be near your TV, which in the case of my mom's house, I did try an antenna there. She didn't get reception near her TV. I didn't have time to relocate and do this whole setup with her, you know, antenna. So you put this little box where you get a signal, and then the box uses Wi-Fi to connect that to your TV. And okay. in the case of this device, it actually streams your local channels right into the Sling TV app, and the Sling TV app pretty much works with most of the Fire Sticks and the Roku devices. So I know it sounds overly complicated, but the bottom line is you connect an antenna to this device, the device connects to your Wi-Fi network, you can now watch your local channels on the same screen that you get all your other streaming content on. Mm-hmm. So you can watch Netflix, and then you can say, oh, I want to go to my Channel 5. You just bring up the Sling TV app, and Channel 5 will be in there. So, nice. And it's free, by the way. Once you pay, the $99 to buy this thing, there's
then
no subscription.
Like set.
Yeah. That's People what... forget that free TV has a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
This also has a DVR if you connect a hard drive to it. And let's see, what else is there? That's about it. I mean, you can watch things out of your house. You can watch on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, iOS, and Android devices. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
And it's available for $99.99. And yeah, I mean, that's all you need to know about that. It's pretty cool. So sling.com/AirTV offer. Or you can just go to airtv.net. If you purchase an Air TV 2 on airtv.net, you'll get a $25 Sling TV credit. You do not need a Sling TV subscription, by the way, to use that Air TV. So if you just want to start out with your local channels, you can do that. Then you can always add a subscription later. All right, I've spoken enough, Megan.
Okay, so this next question comes from Lyle.
Uh-oh. What happened to Lyle?
Oh, sorry. I'm going through my emails.
That was a private text.
No. I had your response to Lyle.
Okay.
Okay, so the next question comes from Lyle. What can you recommend to block all these intrusive advertisements on Android phones?
Ooh, I love this. Love this question. You're going to get some real insider info right now.
Oh, here we go.
Okay? Because this is something that I have not really spoken about in a big way because I feel like it's a little bit complicated for most people, but... If you have so there's a couple ways to block ads. I asked this person if they were on Android 10 because that makes a difference on Android how easy it is to block. It is so easy to block ads on Android. I almost feel bad giving out this trick because it's so easy, it's scary.
Uh-oh.
Do I give it out?
No.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
So on iOS, you know that you can add these things called content blockers to Safari. Do you have one of these installed? So
I'm pretty sure.
If you add a content blocker, there.
Oh, I don't really use Safari, but still.
Right, and that's the problem. If you use, what do you use, Chrome?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I. So I don't use, a content blocker on Chrome on the Android, on the iOS side. Anyway, if you're on iOS, you can download something called a content blocker, and what that does is it integrates into Safari and blocks all your ads as you're surfing. It only works on Safari, doesn't work on other apps and other things, but that's an easy way to block ads just when you're surfing the web on Safari. On Android, the easiest way that I know of is in Android 10, all you have to do is change one setting, okay? So I'll tell you where to go. You go into settings on your phone, you go into network and internet, you go to advanced, and then you go to something called private DNS.
Mm-hmm.
And DNS is how the internet or your phone looks up things on the internet. So when you search for something, it goes to a DNS and it kind of sees like, okay, everything has an address on the world, on the internet, basically.
Were you going to say World Wide Web?
Yeah. So everything has an address there. And so the DNS helps you what's called resolve that address. So when you type in yahoo.com, it actually has a little number associated with it in the background, and that DNS server helps resolve that, find it.
Mm-hmm.
So what this does, okay, then when you go to private DNS, what you're saying is you're saying use this DNS host to figure out the addresses. And once you go through that, it will block all the ads that comes through that connection.
Okay.
So what you want to do is change private DNS to dns.adguard.com. And AdGuard is a big company that does all these ad blocking services. And now when I talk about ads, obviously a lot of people make money off of ads. So if you're thinking about blocking ads, you always want to take a step back and think, am I hurting people's ability to feed their children? So just keep that in mind. If you're fine with that, and
whoa,
a lot of times these are what I call nuisance ads. So this will actually help in a lot of these things, and this is why I have no problem recommending this. A lot of times you go to a website and you get blocked in by some sort of really obnoxious ad that is popping up on your screen 1,000 times saying you want a gift card or you want an Amazon prize or you're the 10th winner and you can't get out of it. And that's why I say, sure, go ahead and use this because you're blocking malicious stuff as well. And that's what a lot of people run up against. Anyway, so you type in dns.adguard.com into this little box under private DNS and boom, it's all your ads on your phone are blocked. Not every ad is going to be blocked. A lot of times it's a cat and mouse game between the big ad companies and services like this. So sometimes you might be like, hey, Rich, I'm still seeing ads. Can't get rid of them all. Like if you're browsing, you know, Twitter, you'll probably still see Twitter ads. A lot of times you can't get around some of the ads. But especially the nuisance ads, like the really annoying ones, you'll get rid of. And that's the easiest way to do it. Now, if you ever, Lyle, have a problem where you can't load a website or you can't connect to a Wi-Fi network, you can just go ahead and turn this off. And when you're done with that network or you're done with that website, you can turn it back on. But that's kind of like the deal. And it, you know, that's some real insider info. But like I said, a lot of people that I see browsing the web, they're coming up against some pretty bad stuff that they can't really figure out how to exit the browser. It's scare tactics. You know, you've got these things that say you won a $100 Amazon gift card. You fill out these forms. It's all garbage. And so, you know, if this can help protect one person from getting scammed into something, then hey.
It's worth it.
There you go. Okay, finally, let me close the show with this. We did a fun story for KTLA on some of the cool ways you can interact with Santa this time of the year. And I'll just start with a smart speaker. So if you're on a Google smart speaker, you can say, H Google, call Santa, and you'll get connected to the North Pole. And they play this fun little game with Santa where you kind of pick some things. It's like a choose your own adventure almost. That's kind of fun. On Amazon Echo, if you want to directly call Santa using, you know what, rhymes with Babexa. You actually have to go into the Alexa app first and enable the Call Santa skill. And there's a bunch of them, but look for the one that says Amazon.com above it. There's a whole bunch of Call Santa skills. You probably want the official one from Amazon. Enable that in the app first. Then you can go to your Alexa or your Echo device and say, hey, call Santa. So that's one. On Siri, on the iPhone, don't even bother. She just gives you some
nothing to say. No.
She really just plays some games with you. Like she's like, oh, flap your hands 5 times and say, ho, ho. Come on,
Apple.
Let's make something fun. Other things to do, check out santatracker.google.com. This is where you can see a countdown to Christmas along with fun games. And there's some cool apps as well. So on the iPhone, there's an app called Catch Santa AR. This uses the augmented reality feature of the iPhone where you can aim your video camera at your Christmas tree and catch Santa sneaking by, laying presents.
Cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
And you can record it and you can send it to friends, put it on Instagram, be like, hey, we caught Santa in the act in our house.
Yeah, show your kids, look, we caught Santa.
And that one's really cool. The other app is called Capture the Magic. And Capture the Magic is an app for iPhone and Android, and they let you superimpose Santa, snowmen, and all kinds of stuff on any scene. So you can have some real fun with that. You can put Santa in your pictures. And we did this at a holiday party a couple years ago. I can't remember the name of the app, but it was very similar. But we had so much fun, like taking pictures in front of the tree, like with Santa, and all the people at the party were like cracking up. So it was really cool. We put them on Instagram.
A party trick.
And again, that one's called Capture the Magic. And of course, you know about NORAD, where you can track Santa on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
So again, a lot of fun you can have with the kids during this time of the year. I was looking for something with Elf on the Shelf. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
So that's like the new thing.
Right.
And
but do they have a tech?
I'm sure they do, but I didn't really look it up. So anyway, those are kind of some fun things you can do with Santa this time of the year. So there you have it. It's always fun. Have a great holiday. We are this is the last show of the year. Of 2019, we are going to start the year off. I think there's one show before we go to CES. So we'll do one show at the beginning of the year, and then we go to CES. And at CES, I have a fun thing planned for the show. So we're going to be recording it on the scene, but in kind of a fun location. So I've got that going on. Follow me on Instagram. I am at Rich on Tech. That's where I'm doing almost all of my posts these days. So at Rich on Tech. If you see my stuff, you know, it takes me a bit to do these things. So if you see it, the least you could do is like it.
Oh, yeah.
Or share it.
Or comment.
Or comment. I mean, just throw me a bone.
Follow.
follow, share with your friends. I'm getting into this thing. I really like sending posts to friends.
I do that all the time.
It's great.
Yeah.
The only problem is when people send me posts and they're private. And I'm like,
oh,
I can't look at that.
Yeah, you have
private.
To follow it.
But I think that's a growth hack tactic.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
Because then I have to go there and follow that.
Yeah.
I never do. I just ask
you
somebody,
don't?
No, I say, can you screenshot this and send it to me?
Oh, my friends are like, no, you have to follow that account
Interesting.
Now.
Interesting. Okay.
So it's
Megan,
that funny.
How can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at producer Megan.
Okay.
Okay. What?
Nothing. That's it. My book is 101 iPhone Tips and Tricks. By the time you listen to this, it's probably too late to get it in time for the holidays. But if you got an Amazon gift card for Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or what else is there? Remember the OC? It was Christmas Kwanzaa.
Oh, no. I never watched that episode.
Or Christmas. No, Christmas.
Christmaka.
I think it was Christmaka.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. I'm dating myself now.
Seth Cohen.
Yes. So if you got a gift card, you can buy the book now. It's a great gift, gift to yourself, I should say. And that's going to do it. I think that's it for the show. We had a great time talking all things
tech. 2019.
Are you going to start any resolutions for 2020, Megan?
Ooh, no, I need to make some though.
I need to make some too. I'm going to be off my phone more. I'm going to be more present.
Present.
That's my, oh, quick
okay,
story.
Mindful.
The problem with being present, I tried doing this when I went home to New Jersey. No one else is doing
no
it.
No one's present.
So everyone else is not present.
But you should just be that person that's like, you're not present. You're not present.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to start the trend.
Be present. Just be present with your family and friends this holiday season. Take the Instagram pictures, then put down the phone.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Have a great day. RichOnTech.tv. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We will see you next year.
Year.
Bye.